Hey, what up? It's the Poser Podcast. Yet again,
hey.
I'm here with Ben Beam.
Yeah.
And our producer.
Hello.
Ryan.
How you guys doing?
How you guys doing? Wait, you just asked that, didn't
you? Yeah, I did.
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired.
Me too. It's kind of
a long day.
What's you, Ryan? You good?
What's you, Ryan?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, in our first podcast, we asked for emails, and we got one from our very, very good friend, Josiah Jones.
Yeah.
We're not going to read the whole thing, but first off, thank you, Josiah, for giving us some feedback. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to read some of it. First episode was great.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. You guys should have guests sit in once you're well-established. Well, sir, we will.
We're planning on it.
Actually, sooner rather than later.
Bet your bottom dollar.
What's that called, the bottom dollar?
I don't know.
I don't.
Do you keep it in your back pocket or something?
I don't know. Bet your bottom dollar.
Maybe it's like your last dollar, your bottom dollar, like the very last one.
I don't
one
know,
had.
But it makes me think about butt.
Yeah, me too. What's a bottom dollar?
I don't know.
That's awkward. Oh. yeah. He
that
says,
bros.
He's topic ideas, testimonies, role of the church in the world biblically versus what actually is taking place today.
Wow.
Right. Ryan is the best producer known to man.
Very much.
He just went and got me water. Sorry, I just drank that right in the mic. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. Yeah.
And he said he was very entertained, which we love to hear.
We love that, yes.
It's better than, you know, oh, that was great.
Yes.
Entertaining? Yes.
Yes.
Money line
money,
right
money
there.
In the bank right there.
That's the sweet spot.
Yes. So, what we're going to be talking about today, we really haven't done, we haven't, we did it like this on purpose. We haven't done any research or anything. We're just going to talk about what we feel.
I don't even have my Bible, man.
I have it on my phone.
It's my phone, but.
Yeah. But we're just going to, you know, roll with it, you know, talk about how we feel about this. The role of the church in the world, biblically versus what is actually taking place today. And Ryan's going to jump in on this one too, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's huge, man.
It is huge.
Where do we begin?
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, historically, let's talk about historically first.
Okay.
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go way back.
Yeah.
Hey, this is actually relevant. A few months ago, did you guys hear about this? Some archaeologists, I want to say it was, I know it was Israel, but I want to say it was like either in some old part of Jerusalem or just outside it. Some archaeologists found these little copper, they're like credit card sized.
Yes, I did hear about
did
that.
Did you hear about that? Did you hear about that, Ryan?
No.
It's like this little copper, like credit card sized. It looks like a keychain. It's got like a hole in the corner with like a copper ring through it.
Yeah.
And there's three of them, and they've got little engravings on them. And it's got like three crosses, I think, and all that. They date them to like just post Christ.
Yeah,
and they think, I mean, they don't know, but they think it's like an early witnessing tool, like the three little pictures engraved on these copper plates.
Kind of like,
you know, Christians carry them around with them, whip it out, and be like, hey.
Like a super old school track.
Yeah,
it's like an old school track.
Leave it on the ground, and somebody pick it up and get saved.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought that was super cool.
That is cool.
Because we don't really know that much about like what Christians were doing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Peeking to the old school Christian outreach.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But what was the role of the church? Let's say 2,000. Let's go with 2,000. That's a good word. That's a good number.
About 2,000 years?
About 2,000 years ago. What was the role of the church? No, I feel like it was kind of, back then it was, if you read the Bible and everything, and then also like history books, it kind of seemed like a theocracy, like the church tended to run things. Like there was two, if you read, like even in, you know, the crucifixion story, there was like, you get the idea that there was, I mean, you know for a fact that there was two different kind of like governments.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Jesus went through two different trials.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Well, there was the, and I'm probably completely butchering this.
Again, no research.
Yeah. But from what I remember, is that it's, I mean, there's the Roman government mm-hmm. that was in charge, because this was, you know, they owned everybody at this point, pretty yeah. much. And so they were all over the world. So there's Pilate, you know, this, the, you know, the Roman official.
Yeah.
In charge at the time. And then you have the religious officials, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and stuff.
Yeah.
And the high priest.
Yeah.
So that's like the old Judaic religious system.
Yeah.
At play in the crucifixion story. And but you also have the Jewish, the Israel government as
yeah,
well.
The Pharisees
Herod.
And stuff.
Well, as Herod, like the,
oh,
the
yeah,
government.
The government.
So there's actually
yeah,
like
yeah.
three.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's like three different authorities.
Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So the church is born in the midst of this very like tumultuous time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Rome is about to completely destroy Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Not long after. Was it like 70 AD, I think?
Something like that.
When
dude.
The temple was destroyed again?
We've already established that. I don't read comics. And the Bible.
Yeah. So, but early church, what's interesting to me is Paul, I don't remember which church he's talking to, but he talks about like giving to the needy and stuff, or continuing to give like they already have.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, it's interesting because I never, until I was in college and I was like studying different governmental systems and stuff and really studying like the Communist Manifesto and yeah. and socialism and stuff. And then I went and read whichever book this is found in, where Paul's talking about, like, you know, if you have enough, give it to, you know, other believers. And then when they have enough and you're running low, they'll give to you. And it talks, it, like, I think it's in Acts where it talks about, like, at when people got saved, they sold everything they had
yeah.
and started giving the money to the poor. And it just became
church, yeah.
this communal society. And what's interesting to me about that is I'm not endorsing socialism or communism by any stretch of the imagination, but it's interesting how when you look at it, the early church, and really in a lot of ways the way it should be now, is somewhat communal and somewhat socialist, but in a good way. And I think probably one of the primary differences that socialism as we know it and communism leave out is God.
Yeah.
Like that's the factor that makes all the difference in the world. You try to establish a communal government or society based upon the belief that humans are good, it's going to fall apart just like it always has.
Yeah.
In, you know, communism like we've seen it. But if you have a communal society, you know, sustained by the Holy Spirit with God at the head, that could be beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
It still is in some cases.
Yeah. See, that's the tricky part is I like that way that I structured it. I think, I think that's the model that all, you know, evangelistic churches,
yeah.
like the ones we belong to, should follow. That's the model we
yeah.
all should follow. But the big thing about that is, we're humans.
Yeah.
We make mistakes. So churches will always
yeah.
be run by humans.
Right.
And if you're not completely God-led, which I feel like they were at the time.
Yeah.
Then it's, I don't want to say it's destined to fail, but it's.
It's going to be more flawed than it has
yeah,
to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've reduced that concept down to
yeah.
the tithe, pretty much.
The tithe, yeah.
Which is completely biblical.
Yeah.
And should happen.
Yeah.
Except that, and it makes us so uncomfortable, and it's uncomfortable for me to even say it.
Yeah.
But the phrase from Scripture is, they sold everything they had.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even that, we got a lot of stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're like, oh, okay, God, you can have 10%. There you go.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Done my duty.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Check that off my list. Get my gold star.
I am now a Christian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've done my job. I don't get to get kicked out now.
And the thing is, though, that we have, I mean, all these really nice churches, you know, in, I mean, first world America,
Yeah.
We have all these super nice churches and all, you know, these, I mean, whether it's big or small, you can go to a small country church and it's like decked out super nice.
Yeah.
From people, I mean, I'm sure there's people, you know, that felt led to give more than 10% that went into that. But a lot of times it's just 10%. I mean, think about just in the material aspect, not that that's that important as anything besides a tool, but just think about if we did give everything we had.
Yeah.
You know, to the betterment of the church, not as a building, but as a group of people, what more would we be doing?
Yeah, like what would life be like that way? Yeah, that's kind of crazy to think about.
But I think the aspect that Joe was really getting at is like discipleship itself.
Yeah.
Like what did discipleship look like in the early church as opposed to how we're doing it now?
Yeah. It looked a lot different for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking specifically in the, you know, America, I think the closest thing to a godly message or to any kind of discipleship coming from the government is the fact that we still have In God We Trust on our money.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know how true that fact is, and I don't want to sound like a weird religious anarchist, because I'm not. I respect the government, and, you know, just I feel like everybody should.
No, I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time saying the Pledge of Allegiance when it says indivisible.
Yeah. Because we're very divisible.
We're so divisible.
Yeah. Which we always attribute it to, I don't know if this is a cop-out or not, but we always attribute it to the fact that there's so many different cultures and made up of America, and that's awesome. You know, it is awesome.
Yeah.
Having so many different people
all
together in one place, unified, which that's awesome. You know, but at the same time, we shouldn't let it make us, like you said, divisible.
Yeah.
We have, having so many different people in one country should be a good thing, should be an awesome, especially for Christians, because it gives us an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And this, this little portion of what I'm saying is speaking, I guess less Christian, more national, just like, you know, Brotherhood of the United States.
Yeah.
We, you know, having this many people, different people together in one country, like I said, should be awesome, should be great. But yet, we find ourselves in, you know, all the time
at war.
Yeah, like if you look, watch.
All
the
you gotta
news,
do is get on Facebook.
Yeah, get on Facebook, watch the news. It doesn't matter. Like any media outlet, like you see somebody religious fighting somebody else religiously, and or just about cultural things. It doesn't always it's not always religious. It's just, I mean, it's crazy to me how we can have so much division in our own country, but at the same time be fighting a war. Like how do the, you know, the other people, other countries see us?
I don't know, man.
Well, like, the same thing is, I mean, just to tie it back into the church, you know, you have so many different people with so many different ideas of how the church should be run, and that creates the conflict. That's why so many people will become a member of one church, become, you know, part of that body, and then split off because they don't agree with the way that church is being run.
Yeah.
So, you know, it becomes a war zone, the church, between its own people, you know, not supporting its leadership. Or, you know, splitting off and trying to, you know, start their own church with the way that they believe or they think should happen, instead of banding together with the central ideas of what really matters, you know. That's where you get the different denominations, too. You know, some people, the little things, you know, that can make a difference between if you're Baptist or if you're Methodist, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of the church just binding together as one, where you agree on the, you know, the big ideas of who Christ is, of who God is. And,
So,
how salvation works.
Right.
What's crazy to me about that, and it's kind of a terrifying thought, and just should really bring about a lot of introspection and a lot of prayer, is like, how does that happen? Like, If each group, if each denomination, each group of people that thinks differently from each other claims to be following God, really, you know?
Yeah.
And claims to be led by the Holy Spirit and is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we're going in all these different directions. Clearly, somebody's not.
Yeah.
And who's not? Like, that should just cause you to stop and be like,
yeah,
is my denomination, am I not really following the Holy Spirit? Am I following some doctrine or some system of belief more than the God of the Bible?
Yeah.
Who is still alive now.
Yeah.
You know?
Or do you believe it because that's what you've always grown up as?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your parents believe that, so that's what's right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, it's the same way, you know, bring it back out to the national level. If you grow up Muslim, you know, you believe wholeheartedly that is right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what you're taught. Yeah. Right. It's what you've always known, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I think, like, discipleship, going back to that, I think one of the differences between the way the Bible did it and the way we do it now, there are so many more variables involved than there were back then. And that might sound like a cop-out to say that, and I don't mean it as a cop-out. I mean, I don't know. None of us were alive then, so I'm sure it was just as hard.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it wasn't, because, and here's one of the more principal ideas behind it, is I think maybe, in a sense, it was easier to disciple back then because, especially within Israel, because people were operating from the same frame of mind, from the same paradigm, from the same worldview.
Yeah.
Whether they really lived it out or not, at that time, typically, you know, the Jews knew Scripture, and they had an idea of who Yahweh was.
Yeah.
And so for somebody to start preaching about Yahweh in terms of, you know, Christ, you know, him coming to earth and this being the Messiah that we were promised, you say Messiah, people know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they know instinctively, they don't have to be told you're a sinner. They know because they know the Scripture.
Yeah.
And I think back then it probably got a little bit trickier when Paul was going to the Gentiles, because they had a different paradigm, you know, like the Greeks especially. I mean, they had all their own theology and everything.
Yeah.
And that's another discussion for another time, I guess, because it's cool. Like his Men of Athens speech, where he's like, you know, I see you have this altar to the unknown God. You know, well, but he butters him up first. He's like, I see that you're very religious, and he commends him for it. Like, he gets on your good side, and then he's like, I see you have this altar to the unknown God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about it.
Yeah. I know this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's just cool how he did that. But
yeah.
So they were operating under a different paradigm, but still, to a certain extent, I think everybody back then would have admitted more than now, perhaps, the sinfulness of man. Mm. And they would have all known the brokenness of man a little bit better. And I could be completely wrong about that. But I think it was easier to build disciples, to make disciples, because people were somewhat on the same page.
Yeah.
And so all you had to do was be like, look, dude, you know this problem we've been having with our sin? Well, this is what Jesus did. Like, this is the good news. Like, we were free from that because of this, this, and this, you know? Yeah. Whereas now, I think the differences are, one of the biggest differences between discipleship now and discipleship then is that, by and large, you have to, like, convince people that they're even sinners in the first place now.
Yeah.
Because we're just so, our society, maybe and especially as Americans, is so, like, my rights and my way, and like, who are you to tell me I'm a sinner? Like, I don't even believe there is sin, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm gonna do what I want to do, and you know, they don't think in terms of like mere Christianity, like we talked about last time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think in terms of like, well, why do I know there's a wrong and a right? That doesn't even cross people's minds most of the time.
Yeah.
I think it just stays at a level of not believing Scripture, even if they come from a biblical background, because Adam and Eve and Noah's Ark and Moses and on, you know, all that, that's children's stories.
Yeah.
They don't see that as fact. And if you don't have the foundation of the fall, then the gospel means nothing.
Yeah.
And you grow up, you see all these kids, and it breaks my heart because you see all these kids, and I know they're trying in children's church and stuff, but you have all these little Bible drawings, you know, like little cartoons that are just like fairy tales.
Yeah.
And then these kids go to school, you know, when they get older, and it's like all these, you know, facts and these pictures, you know, supposed facts about, you know, evolution and things like that, and,
yeah.
and all these things. And then they come home, and so they have this one world that looks like fairy tales and this one that looks just like fact.
Yeah.
And they try to talk to their church leaders or their parents about it, and it's like, oh, don't worry about that, Billy. Just trust Jesus. And it's like, you can't... No, there has
yeah.
to be that foundation of the fall is fact. Our sinfulness is fact.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of people out there doing a lot of really good work to support, you know, creationism and to support the factual nature of the Bible. But all that to say, like, I think one of the biggest differences, and maybe I'm way off base by this, but it, in my life,
mm-hmm.
my experience, what I found is that it's harder to disciple now than it is then, because people are not operating under the same paradigm. They're not coming from the same perspective. They have to understand their own sinfulness before Jesus means anything to them.
Yeah.
As a way, as a rescue from that sinfulness, you know?
Yeah. Dude, you're like a wind-up toy.
Oh, man. Yeah. I promised myself I wasn't going to talk much this time.
No, it was good, though. It's good, good stuff. Well, you guys want to keep talking about this?
I see.
I've realized the last podcast and this one, I really don't have much to say unless we're talking about comic books.
Or pop culture, though. Like, anything.
Yeah.
Relevant.
Yeah. So, comic books. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I got a good question maybe we can talk about. Do you believe that the role of the church is more to reach out and evangelize to those who don't know the gospel, or to build the insiders up to be accountable to those already inside the church?
Oh, man.
Is there one? Is which one is more important?
Whew.
Because, I mean, if you look at the Bible, and, you know, as Paul is planning church and raising up leaders inside the church, you know, most of the emphasis is on building that church up. You don't hear much about it. You hear about individual missionaries traveling around, you know, Asia, traveling around Israel, but you don't hear about the church as a whole, you know, evangelizing out
yeah.
into the community.
Yeah.
But you do yeah. hear, you know, the leaders of the church raising up
yeah.
the people who are already a part of the church.
And that being yeah. emphasized, mm-hmm. like in a lot of Paul's yeah. letters, where he's like, this I command you more than anything. And this is paraphrasing, but he's like, the biggest thing is to love each other. And
yeah.
a lot of times he follows that up with, especially each other in the church.
Yeah.
And like, there's that whole concept of they will know you're Christians because of your love right. for each other.
Yeah.
So is the emphasis on building up the church, and then as the church lives their daily life, their normal jobs, you know, that's their ministry. Not necessarily intentionally going out and handing out tracts or,
yeah.
Or going out specifically to a person and telling them the gospel. But as you live, those opportunities arise. As you live Christ-like, they will mm-hmm. see that, and,
yeah.
And not that you won't ever have opportunities to specifically,
yeah.
you know, tell somebody the gospel,
yeah.
but, you know, is it more important to intentionally go talk to somebody
yeah.
as the church, or is it more important to build up your church?
I think it's a happy medium. Like, I think yeah. coming from the church I'm at now, is their motto is the church for the unchurched. And it's awesome. They're very good at it. The outreach is a part of everything. Like, the very media heavy kind of, you know, they want to make it look cool so mm-hmm. that people who aren't churched, who don't, you know, go to church on a regular basis will come and be like, oh, well, this is awesome. It's like, it's like this or it's like that. You know, it's great. I want to come back here. You know, it's to draw it in and draw them in, and they do a great job. They're one of, you know, the biggest churches in the area because of that. But coming from the church that I came from before then, they were more of a build up the insiders. Like one of the mottos was,
build insiders up.
Yeah. Build insiders up.
Attracting outsiders in.
Yeah. Attracting outsiders in, building insiders up to serve inside and out. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. So they were really awesome about building their body, you know, building up their body. And, in both, which I'm not saying one was doing the wrong thing and the other was doing the right. I'm saying that they're both doing awesome things. And I feel like if they're, I guess, what is the word I'm looking for? Their model, I guess, of how they do things. If they were to combine the two, it'd be like the perfect church. Like,
yeah.
Because on one side, the attracting outsiders in and everything, the problem with that is you get all these people here and you keep doing that. You keep like, oh yeah, we gotta get people and everything. And sometimes your body tends to starve a little bit, and it's kind of like,
cause they're like, we're here.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. It's kind of like a revolving door. You come in, you're like, well, I don't have anything to do, so go right back out, you know, which I'm not saying that happens all the time or that, you know, happens at all, but like, I've seen it. It's a problem. Like, that's, you know, that's something that happens. The goal is, and with the other church, like, you know, building your insiders up, everything like that, building them up, what you have to remember to do is to send them out, you know, like to if they don't already know outlets where they can go and serve and go and try and track people in, give them some, you know, show them how to do it. Don't just tell them, show them, which both churches did both the things that I say, you know, that I said. Obviously one church was a little better at it than the other one, and the other church was better at the other thing than the other one. But I feel like the perfect role, perfect use, you know, very loosely, role of the church in our society today would be to find that happy medium, the, you know, get the people in and then have a body there waiting for them that can build them up so that they can be sent out.
Yeah.
I feel like that is what the church is for. And we get so lost so many times.
We're so bad at multitasking.
Yeah.
Like, we really are. It's like,
we're not a multitasking society.
No.
It's like to think we are, but we're not.
No. Because you flip-flop back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, between building insiders up and then attracting outsiders in. And
yeah.
It's really hard to find that happy medium.
Yeah.
I know personally, and I'm just going to come right out and say, like, I tend to err so much on the side of, I guess, building insiders up more, because that's more in my heart. Like, I'm just more of an encourager than an evangelist. Like, that's just, that's, I'm all about that. Like, my heart just, like, burns for encouraging the body of Christ already. Like, if I see a brother or a sister, you know, but as, I mean, as a guy, especially, like, a brother in Christ who's struggling or he's having a hard time or he's just depressed, like, my heart goes out to him.
Yeah.
And I gotta do whatever I can to build him up.
Yeah.
But when it comes to somebody who doesn't know Christ at all, it's not that I don't care.
Yeah.
Although I guess in my actions sometimes I really don't. And I hate to say that, but
man, you and me both, bro.
But just being honest, like, that doesn't, my heart doesn't burn like that. Like, and I don't know. It's something that I struggle with a lot. I am convicted for a lot, is that I err too much on the side of not being an evangelist. But it's because, I know it's an excuse, and a lot of people probably have a lot to say about it, but like, just being real, one of the biggest things for me, why I don't, I guess, evangelize more than I do, is because everything in me just reacts against this Bible Belt car salesman approach to spreading the gospel. Like, right, I hate that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to, Jesus said, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Like, he said that, right? Didn't he say that?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Making sure I didn't, because I don't have my Bible in front of me. Ben said Jesus said this. But, like, it doesn't say make converts. It's make disciples. Right. Mm-hmm. And I just don't, I know God will use whatever, you know, to bring people to him. And he's used tracks before. But I'm not a track guy.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Like, I just, I feel like that's pushy. And I feel like it's like,
cheesy, maybe?
Yeah, like, I
also feel like it's a cop-out.
Yeah.
Talk to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, yeah, there's, that's true. But then there's people that I'm like, that I know that I'm really close to that use tracks and get good responses out of them. And so I support that. Like, I'm like, hey, you,
if it works, it,
you do what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do. And they are, and it's working for them. So that's cool. But, like, for me, I just don't like doing that because I'm not good at it. Like,
when I would know personally, if I saw a fake $1,000 bill on the ground and it was actually a track and I picked it up, I'd be mad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to hear about Jesus.
Yeah. You just tricked me into reading about Jesus. Yeah. I don't, that's how jerks works. That's, I don't want to.
No. Yeah. That's not cool. But, like, and, like, there's all these methods and stuff. Like, you know, like, there's this formula and you memorize these verses and you do this. And, like, that's, that works for some people. And some people get it. So I'm not trying to bash other people. I'm just saying, for me and my personality type, if I try any of those ways, I sound like I'm trying to sell toothpaste, you know, or like selling rocks. Like, I'm just, that's not, there's no passion involved. And I am like, I really want you to accept this, but it's not, there's no, like, the only times that it's really meant anything for me were in relationships and in conversations, like Jesus did it, you know, like a woman at the well, where he's just like, how you doing? Like, what's up? You know, like, come to me. I'm the well of water. Like, and just meeting people where they are and being real to them. And that's why I think I err, like, Ryan, like you talked about, on the side of maybe being too much this way. But I definitely sway towards, like, if we stop running around like crazy so much and trying to get people inside the church, if we focus more on, like, just running hard after Christ ourselves every day, and I'm speaking to me here, then Christ can't help but come through in our lives and in our interactions with other people. And the only difference is that we just have to make sure that we're in places where those people are.
Right.
Like, the problem is, like you were talking about, Ian, is if you stay inside the church and there's, you know, you're not going anywhere. You're getting built up. You're building insiders up, and you're getting built up by the word. But you're not around outsiders.
You have nowhere to put that.
You have to, you know, I don't think you have to necessarily even go look for outsiders sometimes. I think if you're being built up in Christ and he's inside of you, you just have to do what he did. It's just go be just where they are.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll be attracted to that.
Yeah.
That's...
And that's the coolest part about it, is the fact that when you boil it down, if we just do what we're called to do as Christians, people will notice. And, you know, outreach becomes a little easier, you know? Like, if we just do, you know, what God's commanded us to do and just go and just, you know, show the love of Christ and just love God, love people, the main commandment, and... Or commandment, but the command, the charge,
the
I
sum
guess.
Of the law.
Yeah, to love God and love people, then we won't have to find clever ways to put the gospel into little booklets and stuff. And we won't have to. We'll be the booklet. You know. And so, that's my two cents.
Yeah, man.
Jeez. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, man. Good food for thought. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, I love having you here.
Bro. Yeah, for real, bro.
Glad to be here.
Because we were floundering before you asked that question.
Yeah, we were. We're about to start talking about comic books, and you don't want to go there again.
No.
Nah, Ben just doesn't want to lose. Yeah. We're gonna finish this. See, we're gonna have. We're going to have a...
Say goodnight, Gracie.
We're going to have a mini...
Say goodnight, Gracie. Swear to me.
Christian Bale's sign off. But no, we're going to have a little mini podcast we're going to release sometime soon of our argument about that.
All right, let's do it.